When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome into another playoff edition of Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Pulillo and Josh Jordan. You can read their work on sportsmap.com and follow them on X at Pulillo and at JoshJordan975. Against all odds, or at least odds makers, the Texans upset the Chargers in Houston, where they are 6-2 all time at home in the playoffs. Since 2012, only four other teams have as many playoff wins at home: Pats, Bills, 49ers, and wait for it, the Chiefs. Before we get into that matchup, the Texans made a surprising, yet I'd say not shocking, announcement that they had cut ties with Deontay Johnson following their wild card victory. I know that Johnson's deal has been being unhappy about touches, but are you guys at least a little surprised that he couldn't even make it work past a single game on a team in the midst of a playoff push?
I'm just sad the Texans aren't home Saturday, because the tribute video would probably leave all of us teary-eyed. Deontay Johnson's a chump. At one time, a talented chump. Maybe there is some talent, but talk about career self-sabotage. Within 3 months, he quit or got himself kicked off three different teams. Right? He had a couple of productive seasons with the Steelers, who had no interest in keeping him around. So he goes to Carolina, where he was seeing the ball some and putting up some numbers. But the Panthers couldn't wait to get rid of him. He goes to Baltimore, a contending team, and the Ravens wind up flicking him off like dandruff from their shoulder in no time. The Texans take a free flyer that was overpaying for Deontay Johnson. Whether that guy has personal issues or is just lacking football character, I don't know. But any team signing him going forward, the Ravens actually claimed him after the Texans cut him because they could be in line for a compensatory draft pick subject to a free agent contract that Deontay Johnson signs. I wouldn't anticipate him getting very much on the open market.
No, I wouldn't either. If you can't play for D'Amico Ryans or John Harbaugh, it's going to be pretty tough to catch on somewhere. But I wish they would have given him more opportunities. You knew the reason he was upset with the Ravens was he wasn't getting on the field as much as he wanted. He wasn't getting targets. He wasn't getting catches. And I think that's why he was excited about coming here. He saw a clear opening, and they didn't really use him in that game. He had one catch, one target. He caught the target. It led to a field goal in the game against the Chargers. But I found myself watching, you know, Mechie, and if I'm Deontay Johnson, I'm watching this, like, I'm going to get my reps from Mechie if I'm going to be playing. Mechie comes out, fumbles on the first offensive possession of the game, almost has another fumble that the refs ruled an incomplete pass. I mean, he looked like a disaster early in that game. It looked like the game was too big for him. And I was sitting there watching on TV, like, where's Deontay Johnson? Maybe they can get him going. And they never really got him on the field that much. And you know how receivers are. A lot of them are drama queens, and sometimes you have to kind of play to their egos. At the end of the day, I don't fault the Texans, because they did what I wanted them to. They rolled the dice on him. They took a chance. It was low risk. It didn't work out. They just cut him. But I was hoping they could get something there, because why? Robert Woods, who are your other options? Okay, well, he hasn't practiced this week, a hip. Old guy with a hurt hip. I don't have a lot of excitement for that performance. Mechie hasn't really done anything in his career up to now. His best game so far was 74 yards and a touchdown against the Lions this year. So that's kind of all you're hoping for there. And Hutchinson, yeah, one catch. It was that broken play that CJ had. So they have nothing, and they haven't had anything at receiver the past couple of years. So I was really hoping they would do what they could. And knowing that Woods was banged up, I might have just, you know, tried to encourage him, like, hey, we're going to get you involved here. We need you. But with him pouting after a win, after a playoff win in the locker room, and leaders having to go come up to him, be like, no, it's fine. You know, you shouldn't be sulking after we win a playoff game. I understand why they did it, but they're in just such a bad position at wide receiver with Tank Dell down. And they just kind of refuse to throw the ball to Joe Mixon lately. I just don't know what they're going to do, especially when you look at the Chiefs and they got Hopkins and Worthy and Hollywood Brown and Travis Kelce. It's not even close when you're looking at weapons between these two teams.
But you add all that up, and does that not sum up all you need to know about Deontay Johnson? Opportunities seem to be yawning wide open, whether the vibe that he was giving off or the performance that he put forth, or the aptitude that he showed at practice in a meeting room, and then to be pissing and moaning on the sideline, and then you reference the post-game pout. Bye-bye, loser.
Let's get into our divisional round matchup. Saturday afternoon, Houston travels to Arrowhead, where the Chiefs were undefeated this season. Speaking of undefeated, Mahomes is undefeated in his career in the divisional round. Not surprisingly, that's a recipe for the Texans being big underdogs. Most books have the Chiefs favored by 8.5 points. 8 points was the margin of loss in their first matchup. So let's start with the defense, because Patrick Mahomes is a proven winner, future Hall of Famer, but he has not had a statistically great season by his standards. It's weird to say that, since when you think of the Chiefs, Mahomes is the face of the franchise, and they've only lost one game the entire season. But teams have been able to contain him more over the past couple of years. What are some matchups you're watching for where Houston can take advantage of things on the defensive side and contain Mahomes and Brown and Hopkins?
Well, compounded by what the Texans did against the Chargers and did to Justin Herbert, you're thinking the pass rush needs to go off. You'll take your chances with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter against any tandem of tackles. Thing is, the Chiefs try to attack differently than the Chargers do. In the first meeting, the Texans barely got to Mahomes. One sack, no interceptions. If those numbers repeat, the Texans likely will not be making that debut appearance in an AFC championship game. Mahomes, Andy Reid, they've had to modify their attack this season because the receiving core has been in flux over the course of the season. Hollywood Brown missing a big chunk of the season. Josh alluded to him. DeAndre Hopkins joining midway. Travis Kelce looking old for a lot of the year. Offensive line, a couple of key injury issues. But one thing about the way the Texans destroyed the Chargers, Hunter and Anderson, they did a lot of outside to inside stuff to beat the crap out of the softish interior of the Chargers' offensive line. The interior of the Chiefs' offensive line is a Pro Bowl center and a Pro Bowl guard and another Pro Bowl guard, unless Joe Tooney is again out at tackle as he was in the Texans-Chiefs' first meeting. So I don't think the Texans are going to be able to just dominate attacking the inside. So Hunter and Anderson from the outside, will they have enough time? Danielle Hunter lines out way wide so often. Will they have enough time to disrupt Mahomes, who's gone with a lot more short game timing, get the ball out quickly? As I mentioned, just one sack. I think they hit him only three times in that entire first meeting.
I think for me, it's to stop Mahomes from running. That's what killed him in this first matchup. They got down to a third and long, and then they got pretty close, and then the Chiefs decided to go for it. And, you know, on third and long, Mahomes runs through the B gap, takes off, and gets so close to the fourth down that he ends up picking it up with a little pass to Hollywood Brown. And then later in the drive, once again through the B gap, Mahomes takes off and breaks off a long touchdown run. So I think that's something that the Texans are going to have to do to, you know, make sure that he can't take off up the middle and just gobble up 15, 20 yards. These guys are going to have to, you know, really be, you know, focused and just really try and keep him contained and not worry about getting the kill shot on him as much. Just don't let him scamper away. I think that's something they got to focus on. And Lassiter, he had some good plays in that game, but we also saw some plays against Hollywood Brown and against Worthy. You know, these guys are really fast. So that could be a thing with Lassiter where you want to be careful with him. He's been terrific, but I mean, Worthy's the fastest guy in the history of the combine. He ran a 4.2. It's, you know, it's no condemnation on Lassiter, but dude can run. So that could be an X factor in this game. The defense, if they can, the corners can play like they did last week, that'll be a good first step in trying to win this ball game.
Azeez El-Shaarawy was on suspension first Texans Chiefs go around. So at least this time, the Texans will have their two most athletic linebackers available, presuming El-Shaarawy, who missed some practice time, but you're going to go conservatively on practice time this time of year. He and Christian Harris can at least try. Harris had the one sack of Mahomes, actually, in the first game. The biggest passing completion December 21st was a 36-yarder to Samaje Perine. Mm-hmm. Right? The Texans didn't give up the long ball to a receiving target, but Andy Reid, for years and years, the best screen game in the NFL. And if they can get an ISO, a running back against a linebacker, as they took a shot there where the Texans just blew the coverage, they make you cover the whole field less so vertically than we think of the Chiefs in the Tyreek Hill days. That said, you have to account for Xavier Worthy because of all his speed. And Kelce seems to have picked it up down the stretch, maybe at 35 years old, and after a very active offseason, he paced himself a bit. Maybe the Chiefs did overall, in fact, because Fortino was 15-1 before sitting out everybody and not even game planning to play Denver in the regular season finale. It was one close game after another. And if you're in a close game, you're more susceptible to get beat by one big turnover or one big play. However, the Chiefs seemed to round more into form down the stretch. It was a one-score game with the Texans, but it was an eight-point game that they had control of after taking a lead by halftime. They pasted the Steelers, though the Steelers were getting pasted by everyone, it seemed, down the stretch. So, I mean, this is a Herculean task, seemingly, for the Texans. But for a 15-2 team and really a 15-1 team, I just think there is some vulnerability there in Kansas City.
And Kelce seems to have that Robert Horry juice to him, where at least at this point in his career, obviously the ceiling on Kelce much higher than Robert Horry in his career. But as far as big plays, I think very comparable. Just when they need a big play from Kelce, he seems to be Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Brandon. They've been doing that. They've been kind of babying him the last couple of years. If you remember last season, he hurt his knee in the preseason and we thought he was going to miss some time, but he ended up kind of playing through it. So it took him a while to get healthy last year. And then this year, I think they kind of took that blueprint and they were like, you know, we just need Kelce. They're about winning three-peats in Kansas City. It's not about winning week four. Or, you know, they're looking to win championships and do something nobody's ever done before. So they've taken it easy with Kelce. And you can do that when you have other options to throw the ball to. And you have Patrick Mahomes and back to Charlie in the running game. That's where I think maybe the Texans can improve, because pretty much all your defensive linemen are healthy this time around. Fadakasi was a big part last week for the Texans in stopping the run. So they should be healthy on defense. Maybe they can hold the run game in check a little better with everybody. But also the Chiefs now are pretty much fully healthy. I mean, they haven't had to play in weeks. All their guys are getting healthy. So Texans a little healthier on defense this time. Chiefs healthier on offense this time. So I think it's really going to come down to that at the end of the day.
Kelce is 35, so pacing, no pacing. He does not have the same speed, the same vertical, beat you up the seam, the long ball stuff that built his Hall of Fame resume. But he's so smart. He and Mahomes are so syncopated that if it's 3rd and 5, it seems like Kelce catches a 6-yard pass. If it's 3rd and 7, he catches an 8-yard pass. Noah Gray actually is the speedier tight end that Andy Reid will deploy in the game. But you know, in a tough spot, Kelce is where Mahomes is apt to look first.
Going back to Josh's point about them not prioritizing the regular season, that shows you how good they are, because they turn around and only lose one game. You guys touched upon it a little bit, but how much do you guys factor the rust versus rest
7 o'clock Saturday night, we can pass the verdict on that, right? It's that time-honored question of rest versus rust. And there is no conclusive evidence. It's how the game goes in 2020 hindsight. The Chiefs have experience having used the bye to their benefit, but they shut it down the extra week because it's not as if every year they've had that bye locked down in the only one team gets it era. So the last time the Chiefs competed was against the Texans, the 21st, and then the Steelers game on Christmas where they blew the Steelers out and were able to put it in cruise control in the second half. So they haven't played four quarters of football since the Texans game. But I think it's a plus you add it all up for Kansas City, right? Mahomes was playing off having suffered the high ankle sprain against the Texans. So the extra time for him to get closer to 100%. If the Texans pull this off, no alibiing from Kansas City that we were rusty. The Texans pull it off, it will be because the Texans pulled it off.
That's why I think it's important that if there is some kind of rust going on, try and get out to a fast start if you're Houston. You know, after a while, the Chiefs will probably get in the flow and everything will be good. You know, I know we have, terrible memories of the Texans jumping out to a big lead on the Chiefs in the past, but I think that's the only way they're going to give themselves a shot here in this game. Try and take advantage. Maybe they can get a couple three and outs from the Chiefs and you can get some points on the board and let that defense go to work.
On the other side of the ball, Houston's offense got off to a slow start on Saturday and then in the second half started asserting dominance over the Chargers. Mixon was great. You know, I went back and watched that game against the Chargers and so many runs by Mixon, especially early, that should have been negative yardage. He was able to just do a couple of things just to get something positive out of it. He's so good. But like in the case of you're upgrading from facing Herbert to Mahomes on defense, the Texans O-line and wide receivers face a step up in competition going from the Chargers defense to the Chiefs defense, not just in statistical prowess, but in experience. How does Houston avoid that slow start? And what do you expect to see from Bobby Slowick's play calling to put CJ and company in a position to succeed and succeed early?
Yeah, what will be Slowick's commitment to the run against Kansas City? By percentage, they did less running on first and second down against the Chargers than they did through the year, right? The lamenting of predictability, run, third and long. Issue one for the Texans to deal with is Chris Jones, the best interior defensive lineman in the game. He strained a calf in the Texans game, had not played since then. So the bye, rest versus rust, the rest phenomenally beneficial to the Chiefs foremost because Chris Jones, who's practicing, says he's fully set to go and fine. And against the kind of mushy interior of the Texans offensive line, because in that first game, talked about how the Texans only sacked Mahomes once, but barely hit him. The Chiefs hit Stroud double-digit times. Only got credit for two sacks, but they were harassing him pretty consistently through the game. What can the Tech, right? Remember, it's also the game where, stop with the hitch passes for -2 yards, but the Chiefs were all over them. You know, they run their screen game. They're prepared for the screen game and the quick passing game defensively, I guess, because they practice against it so much. I'm not sure what the offensive game plan is if you can't get Mixon off. Because if the Chiefs can tee off, Steve Spagnuolo, blitz, exotic, he's a better defensive coordinator than Bobby Slowick is, an offensive coordinator, Nico Collins, and then who? Cade Stovert actually been making a play here or there. Well, he's now out as one other possible weapon. The Chiefs, meanwhile, in addition to Trent McDuffie, all-pro cornerback, their second-best corner, Jalen Watson, hasn't played since October. Broken ankle? Well, he's probably returning for this game, even if it's in just a nickel limited snaps role. As Josh highlighted, the Chiefs are as healthy as they've been at any point this season, certainly as you could expect to be at this point in a season. C.J. Stroud's going to need to be on point, throw two interceptions in this game, in the cold, and the snowball effect could be on.
Yeah, the Stover thing was something I noticed too, Charlie. You wouldn't think much about Stover missing, thinking it's that big a deal. He had the second most catches last week, tied with Mechie with 4. So he was actually a big part of the offense last week. So you're going to miss him. So that means you got to find somebody else to kind of to fill that role and to make some of those plays. I think it's going to have to be somebody like Joe Mixon. Throw him the ball. I was just looking at what they've been doing with him. He's catching 1-2, 1-1 balls over the past 4 weeks. There was a point in the season where he's catching 5 or 6 balls for a two or three game stretch. It just hasn't happened lately. And Sloak was asked about that. And he's like, yeah, we know he's a good pass catcher. We want to get him involved, but we didn't want to tire him out too much to where he wouldn't be as effective in the running game, which I'm like, this is the playoffs, man. It's not about tiring people out anymore. And if you're struggling to run the ball and you're getting stuffed at the line over and over again, let another running back deal with that. Keep mixing fresh to toss him the ball in some plays that could actually make a big impact in the game. So I think a lot of that's going to be on Bobby Slowick to just realize and be honest with himself. What's working? What's not working? I was watching his presser, and he talked about up until that play where CJ had the snap that he didn't handle cleanly. He was like, he said, up until that play, we were doing good things. We were moving it efficiently. I went back and looked. First drive, fumble on the first play. Next drive, 3-place punt. Next drive, 5-place punt. Next drive, 3-place interception. Next drive, 4-place punt. That's moving the ball efficiently? That things were going good before CJ made that great play to Hutchinson? Dude, what are you talking about? I know they completed a couple passes on some of those drives, but that's not going to get it done. The other guy I got to highlight here is Nico Collins, man. And, you know, in his first game against the Chiefs this year, 7 catches for 60 yards. That is not going to get it done. You're going to need a lot bigger game from Nico. Keep in mind, that was the game where Tank Dell went 100 yards and a touchdown. He had a huge game. Who's going to make up for all that production? And with Deontay Johnson gone, it's got to be Mechie or Hutchinson. And then also Dalton Schultz. You started seeing him getting targeted a lot more after Tank went out. Dalton Schultz has got to step up and make a lot of catches in this game if they want to win.
Before we get to our predictions, let's give our final X factors on the game. Charlie, we start with you. Final X factor or X factors you're watching for Saturday?
Weather. Arrowhead in January, 25 degrees, the forecast high, which is about 10 degrees warmer than if this game had been scheduled for Sunday. Don't know about wind, but the Chiefs, of course, are much more battle-tested in these conditions than are the Texans. C.J. Stroud certainly played some cold weather games at Ohio State. It wasn't balmy, but I don't think it was super frigid at Baltimore in the playoff loss last season. And I guess if you're an opponent, notorious Arrowhead crowd. Josh mentioned, you know, every game, hey, let's get off to a good start. But I do think it's of compounded importance in this one where C.J. Stroud can get down on himself a little bit, and a fortuitous bounce in the play against the Chargers turn things around. Can't count on a play like that happening again. So, yeah, don't get left in the starting blocks. I take my chances with having an opportunity to blow a 24-0 lead like they did 5 years ago.
Yeah, me too. I think for the defense, it's really going to be about, can they take what they do at home on the road? We've really only seen it. I can think of one time this year they were good on the road against the Packers. They gave Love some fits, and he turned over the ball a few times. Can they do that? Can they manage to muster up what they can do at NRG on the road against really the biggest challenge they could possibly see? And then on offense, we've seen it all year, and it was a problem in the first Chiefs matchup. You can't live on third and long against this team all day, you know, with what Spags can do on defense. They're going to have to get something in the running game so CJ's not third and 10 all day, because if that's going to be the case, we know how this is going to end.
And let's tag that with offensively, with that rabid KC crowd, know the freaking snap count every play. Don't get flinchy, Laremy Tunsil et al.
And you guys covered it, but for me, the second week in a row, I'm highlighting the secondary. If Stingley, Lassiter, and Bullock can ball hawk and make Mahomes pay for mistakes, and obviously it's going to be a taller task. You're not facing Herbert this time around. You're facing a future Hall of Famer, but they have to make hay on defense and then have to hope that gives CJ, Nico, Mixon, Bobby Slowick more opportunities to adjust and make moves on the offensive side like they did against the Chargers. And I'm not going out on a limb to say that defense has to win for Houston, because I think KC's defense is going to give Houston all they can handle and will limit points on the other end. As we mentioned, Texans come into this game as 8.5-point dogs on most books. Point total is 41.5. Charlie, we start with you this week. Final score, Texans Chiefs.
just to amplify your ball hawk point, Mahomes' last interception thrown, I believe, was before Thanksgiving. So maybe he's due. The Texans unlikely to win this game if they don't pick off at least one. Part of me has a funny feeling. The Chiefs, the weight of their pursuit of history, catch up to them at some point. I frankly think it would be shame on Kansas City if they're caught looking ahead to, well, that Bills-Ravens winner, that's our real hurdle to get back to its Super Bowl. The Texans played them competitively before Christmas. The Texans brutalized the Chargers. The Chargers gave the Chiefs two good games, a 17-10 game, and then a Chiefs win on a field goal at the gun. So I don't think the Chiefs should get caught looking past the Texans. In the end, other than hope and how awesome would it be to have an AFC championship game to be talking about next week with the Texans in it, I just don't see a fundamental reason to pick against the Chiefs at home, rested and healthy. But I won't be stunned. Right? All those close games they played throughout the season, you can get tripped up in one of those at some point. So I'll say the Texans give it a good go, as opposed to last year at Baltimore, as opposed to 5 years ago at Kansas City for four quarters. But Chiefs 20, Texans 17.
That's what's challenging about this is, yeah, the Chiefs have played a lot of teams close this year, but you look at their last three games, 29-10, 27-19, 21-7. They've been playing better at the end of the year. They're getting better. They're starting to put teams away a lot more regularly. So that concerns me. And then it's just the skill players they have, you know, it's just, and Andy Reid calling the plays and Mahomes being the guy pulling the trigger. And the Texans, they're so shorthanded on offense. I just don't know how they keep up on the scoreboard. So I hope I'm wrong, but I got Chiefs 27, Texans 17.
Charlie, I share your funny feeling in this situation. I really do think that Houston could be primed to shock the world. And I do like weather as a variance here, not just as an opponent here, an extra opponent on the field, but also just a catalyst for what could be turnovers. And I trust that D'Amico's defense can be opportunistic. I'm going to say 24-23 Texans. The first matchup with these two teams was close and seemingly swung on that Tank Dell injury, followed by Fairbairn missing the point after. I just think Houston has proven that their defense is formidable, and CJ was able to recapture the magic of his rookie campaign. Now, obviously, KC's the favorite for a reason. Andy Reid is an excellent head coach, and there's no shame in losing to a dynastic one-loss team. However, what I'd like to see is, even in a loss, for Houston to show that they belong. No blowout. That will go a long way for this team's confidence, for this fan base's confidence in this team. Again, no shame in losing to the Chiefs. We know the challenges on this team for Houston, many of which can't be addressed until the offseason through draft and free agency. I do expect at some point for them to run out of gas in this playoff campaign, but I'd especially like to see Bobby Slowick rise to the occasion and show that he too belongs in these situations. So I'll end it there. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. We hope to see you back here live on YouTube Saturday evening following the game. So make sure you're subscribed with your notifications on. Also, if you're an Astros fan, the three of us host an Astros podcast called Stone Cold Stros on our other YouTube channel, Sports Map Houston. Make sure you're subscribed over there as well, as we're covering free agency all off season. And we have emergency episodes whenever breaking news breaks. And as for this show, don't forget to come back and join us on the conversation Saturday after the game. And hopefully we're breaking down another Houston playoff victory. Until then, go Texans.